This is Jerry Sands. You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News.
That's right. You are listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. Thank you, Jerry Sands, for the opening. Your passion for the Hanshin Tigers knows no limits here. Hey man, this is the first time that we are talking about the second place Hanshin Tigers. Sanjay, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great over here in Honolulu, if a lot sleep deprived because all these games are going so late into the night. But man, you're right. It's the first time that we're in second place. And you know, that's a blessing that we've enjoyed it for this long.
It's been a crazy good year. We should clarify, it's the first time that we've recorded on a day where they're in second place, because they have fallen into second before, even third. But today, Thursday, October the 7th, we're recording episode 136. Of course, I am T-Ray. And yeah, the Tigers are in second place. Do we need to worry about that? That is the question of the hour, of the day, of the week. And that's what we're going to tackle in our hot topic. But for now, strap in and join us for the pre-ride. It is time for some rumors and news.
Rumors and news.
Well, the first bit of news I want to share with you, Sanjay, is not really special news, but rather that the NPB Pro Draft, or amateur draft, I guess, for guys going pro, is on the 11th of October. That is next week on Monday. I can't believe how soon, how quick it's coming around, and how little I've paid attention to anybody that we might be taking. How about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I kind of noticed that that was happening on the 11th. And the problem is that the season is still, you know, going on because of the Olympics. So therefore, our attention has been sort of all over the place. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm just kind of like soaking in whatever it is that they feed me on the daily tabloids.
Right. And the fact that the season is going on is one thing. The fact that it's still relevant baseball going on is another, because you look back at the past 5 years, right? The Giants won the past two pennants and they were both runaways, and the Carp ran away with it the 3 years before that. So we haven't had this hot a pennant race in 6 years. This one's really meaningful. Well, anyways, we will report to you on the website and probably in the next episode of the podcast about who we have acquired. We'll give you some little breakdowns. So don't worry, H10 has always got you covered. And to make room for those guys that we will be drafting, of course, if you listened to last episode, you know that we talked about who was being cut and who we thought would be cut and who we thought might announce retirements, because Shunsuke and Kentaro Kuwahara, it makes them sound like they're married. It's Shunsuke Fujikawa and Kentaro Kuwahara. They announced their retirements before the last episode went down. Two guys have since done so. They were both mentioned by us on the last episode. Those would be Kenichi Nakata, who is 39, I believe, and Minoru Iwata, who in just a few weeks will be 38. But they are both done with pro baseball at the end of this season. Neither of them had any significant impact this season on the top squad. In fact, Nakata did not even make it up. We also had five guys who have been cut. Well, those announcements have been made. There might even be more. It's Fumiya Araki, infielder, age 33. Kazuo Ito, right-handed pitcher, age 31. Masaki Ishii, this one caught me off guard a bit. He is still 25, 26? Young, left-handed pitcher. Right-handed pitcher, Shota Suzuki, who was a development player and we picked up last offseason because he got cut by the Dragons. And then also infielder, former pitcher, Kosuke Fujitani, who also is just 26 years old. So that really just frees up three roster spots, because the two development guys don't count against roster limitations. And then the two retirements here and the two from last time. So that's seven spots open. But remember, our roster was jam-packed. It was up to 69 guys. The max is 70. You also got to think some of the other development guys might be gearing towards regular contracts next year. I'm looking at you, Hiroto Saiki. I'm looking at you, Hiroya Shimamoto. You guys better be coming back. Joe Ichiro Maki has been looking good down on the farm. And even a guy like Kota Okuyama, who's been a development player for the last 2 years, has been making a bit of a splash as well. So I think there's going to be more cuts announced in the upcoming days. I think the first round of cuts have to be done by the end of the regular season, and then the next round of cuts by like the end of the Nippon series, something like that. There's kind of these rules in place for that. But anyhow, it is what it is. We wish these guys all the best, of course. I always, you know, I don't cheer against anybody that wears the Tigers uniform, but obviously they were not contributing the way they were expected to. And so it has been time for them, time for us to say goodbye to them. All right, let's move on to some news about a couple of our stars. And we mentioned these in tandem, not because they work together or anything like that, but I fear that there could be some similarities in their paths. I certainly hope not. But Shintaro Fujinami was a young, coddled, worshipped superstar in his first 3 years with the team and has since sputtered. It has been up and down for his whole career since then. And that we're talking like 5 years now. So on the 23rd of September, which was just after we recorded last time, he threw a no decision, 5 1/3 innings, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, 2 runs. Not a great outing, but I think he is still down on the farm, and they actually only have 1 game left, and we'll talk about that in just a second. The other guy we want to talk about is Teruaki Sato, who before the last recording, quite a bit before actually, he got sent down to the farm. He got called up on the 23rd of September, and that day he came darn close to hitting a sweet home run at Vantolin Dome. It went foul, and his slump continued until he was 0 for 59, which sets a record for a position player in NPB history for the longest hitless drought. It finally ended 2 days ago on Tuesday with an RBI single. We'll talk about that during the recaps. But Sanjay, I just, when I see those two names together and I think about how like adored these guys are, they're local kids that were supposed to make huge impacts, and they both did. I just really hope, and I know it's so early to talk about this, but are we going to be playing the same game with Sato as we did with Fujinami? Send him down, let him knock it out of the park, call him up, watch him strike out, send him down. Or are we in for better things with him?
I have a definitive answer, and that is no, Sato is no Fujinami. He is going to be in the lineup every day. Look, this kid has more home runs than anybody in the Tigers, even if he's 0 for 59.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's the real deal, man. Give him time. Give him room to grow. It's okay. We're fine. We can win without him, and we will win with him.
Okay. Well, I sure hope so. And we will talk about him more later on in the show for sure. So as I promised, we are going to talk a little bit more about the farm team. And that is because on September the 24th, they won the Western League. They had that large, long 18-game win streak, and that still only drew them even with the SoftBank Hawks. But they continued to win after that, and they clinched. This is our first Western League title in 3 seasons, so it's not too long since the last one. But in 2 days' time, on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. in Miyazaki Prefecture, we will be facing the Eastern League champion, Lotte Marines, Chiba Lotte Marines, in a one-game winner-takes-all showdown. By the way, Sanjay, do you know who won and who we faced 3 years ago in this championship for the farm?
You know, was it the Chiba Lotte Marines then too?
No, it wasn't. It was the Yomiuri Giants. And can you guess who won?
We did.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We won that one. I forget the score, but you know, our farm team actually has been quite well managed. At that time, actually, it was Yano who was the manager of the farm team. That was his last season on the farm. He got called up to the top squad, if you will, the next season. And since then, Katsuo Hirata has been doing a great job with the team. I really like the attitude he's got. I like the atmosphere that he creates. So I'm wishing them all the best. And of course, we will report about that in episode 137 for you. Finally, we don't have much news on the injury front. Yuki Nishi was deactivated last time we talked. He was reactivated on the 24th of September and has had 3 starts since. So we'll talk about those in the recaps. And Fumiya Hojo, who hurt his left shoulder on the 15th of September. We mentioned that last time. Well, he's playing catch and swinging bats. I still don't think he's going to be back this year. I just don't see him playing. Like there's still like exhibition games for the farm guys in what's called the Phoenix League down in Kyushu. I think that'll start next week or the week after. It's soon after the farm championship. So he'll probably play there, if anything, but I don't think he's going to make it up to the top squad anytime soon. All right, before we jump into the recaps, we have got some awesome patrons that we want to thank. And if you want to be part of this shout out, if you want to be part of other great benefits, go visit us at patreon.com/thehanshintigers with an S, because we're plural, because we fans are a great nation. I want to thank the nation: Richard Geiwitz, Tom Zilla, William Schofield, Rick Silvers, Mike Schulke, and Doug, who is giving us some awesome respect. And he also wants to shout out to his son, Teo. So thanks to all of you. Recap. If you believe Sanjay, we are wrapping up 14 games. And also, this might be the first time all season we don't have a single rainout in this stretch.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Go Japan. Okay. Well, I think we had said they had to play 600 ball, during this stretch in order to, keep themselves in first place. Well, obviously they didn't keep themselves in first. It was not a bad stretch by any means. We only lost 4 games during this time. The timing of those losses was terrible, combined with the ridiculous hot stretch that the Swallows are on. They went 9-0-4 during a particular 13-game stretch, lost 2 in a row to the Bay Stars, and then just got right back on the winning train and have won 5 straight since. So that's one of the reasons that we find ourselves in second now. It's not so much that our guys were awful. Okay, speaking of our guys, how did we do? We're going all the way back to September the 21st, playing in Nagoya against the Dragons, and we won 3-2. Man, if I don't take notes on these, I don't remember these games, man, because we're 128 games in. It's hard to remember any individual game. Well, anyways, 3-2 win. Top of first, we had a great chance that got snuffed out by a couple of, it was a swing them out, throw them out type of thing. Top of the third, Chikamoto with an RBI double, Nakano with an RBI single. So that gives us a 2-0 lead. They caught up in the bottom of the sixth. In the top of the eighth, we had another great chance. Marte hit into a double play. I kind of remember now, like, this is where Marte was really struggling, hitting the ball to the exact same guy in the exact same situation, like game in and game out. That has since changed, folks. Stay tuned. We've got some great news about Marte. But in the top of the ninth, Shimada with an infield single and a stolen base. Sands with a great, this is something people raved about. It wasn't a hit or a home run. No, he hit it to the opposite side, grounded to first, that brought Shimada to third base, and then Kinami with the sack fly for the win in the top of the ninth. Anytime we can win at Bantaline Dome, I'm a happy man, because it doesn't happen often enough.
Yeah. And on this one, I remember, I believe, rave reviews from a bunch of commentators, including Yagi, our former god of pinch hitters, who said that the team really came together here, and Sands in particular. I mean, you felt it, that he really, gave his all to make sure that the runner advanced. And, it doesn't show up in the stats or anything like that, but that was like a major, major positive for him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm kind of surprised they chose Kinami as the hero of the game. I know that he hit the sack fly, but he had a pretty awful game on defense, and his other at-bats were very uninspiring. Anyhow, a win's a win. We take it. We move on to the next day against the Dragons stuff. Second game of this series. And Aoyagi gave up a couple of runs in the bottom of the first and bottom of the sixth. We had runners in scoring position in the first through eighth innings, I believe. And we only came through in the eighth inning, top of the eighth, Marte with an RBI single. So again, the cleanup, Marte, Sands, and Oyama each had 2 chances with runners in scoring position. And Marte had 3, pardon me. So it was 2 that he blew. So he was 1-for-3. The other guys were 0-for-2 apiece. So that did not look good. 2-1 loss. Next day, we tie. This is something that is rare in Tigers Nation. Certainly, we only have 7 ties on the season. 2 of them in this stretch. Anyhow, Chikamoto and Marte combined for a run in the top of the first. Got tied up in the bottom of the sixth. Ito with a great outing. So he went 7 innings and allowed just 2 hits, 1 run. Oyama with a 2-run single in the top of the eighth. But then Suarez uncharacteristically falls apart in the bottom of the ninth. He did hold on. It was an outstanding double play at the end of the game. It was a 5-2-3 double play to preserve the tie, because they were certainly knocking on the door to walk this one off. The Dragons, by the way, it was like 2 days ago, I think they got their first walk-off win of the season. And I'm glad it wasn't us on this particular day. So anyways, we split that series with the Dragons, 1-1-1 at Bantoline. Not the best, but not the worst.
Yeah, anytime you can walk out of Bantoline even, it's almost like a win.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so then we come back and face the Giants. We don't come back. We go out to Tokyo Dome to face the Giants because we're done playing them at Koshien. Man, let me tell you, this game here was a pretty exciting one. The Tigers got the first run in the top of the first, one on a Marte RBI single, the next on an Oyama double play. Ouch. And then we also took a 3-0 lead on an Oyama sack fly in the top of the third. Everything is looking good until the bottom of the third when Nishi, this is his return game after the disabled list stint, gives up a 3-run home run to Okamoto, 2-run home run to Maru, and we're down 5-3 just like that. Sakamoto with an RBI in the bottom of the fourth, so we're down 6-3, but Marte with a 2-run home run in the top of the sixth, and then Sands with a big RBI double off the wall in the top of the ninth. We also had a great chance to take the lead here, but we didn't. They had a great chance to walk it off, but they didn't, thanks to Nakano with an outstanding play, drawn in infield, which I absolutely hate, but it paid off for once. Nakano, though, had to dive to stab that ball and then throw a bullet back home. Sakamoto had to stretch out, our Sakamoto, that is, stretch out to catch it and still have his foot on the plate. And that saved the run. And then Nakano also caught a soft Nakata line drive for the third out. Tie game, but you know what they say, a tie is as good as a win. Who says that? I don't know. I disagree, but at the same time, in this case, man, this game looked lost just like the other time, but we were down 6-0 against the Giants. This is a couple of weeks prior, and we tied at 6-6. Those comeback ties against the Giants feel good.
They certainly did.
So why not keep things going with some good times the very next day? Oh my goodness, what good times. If you felt any bit of nervousness watching Nishi pitching against the Giants, and you probably did because I did, you felt zero nervousness watching Haruto facing the Giants on this night. Man, complete game shutout, 13 strikeouts. The only time they had any chance of scoring was the bottom of the ninth. They did have the bases loaded with one out, but Haruto got Maru on a strikeout, and then Kame, who tends to hit clutch everything, he had a chance to tie this one. No, to walk it off. It could have been a Grand Slam home run. He flew out to right. So, Haruto, 13 strikeouts, Itohara with a home run in the top of the seventh, and then it was Haruto, Chikamoto, and Nakano that combined to give us the insurance runs in the top of the eighth. So yeah, 3-0 win, love it, and especially because this came against the guy that we all love to hate, Tommy Smugano, as I call him, Tomoyuki Sugano. Yep.
I think that's a very, very appropriate name too. Way to come up with that one.
Thanks. Well, I like that. And I also like my Marte McFly every bit as much. Those are kind of two of my favorite things that I've come up with over the years.
Okay. Right. Can we give a few more props to Haruto though? 13 Ks. I mean, there are only 27 Ks in a game, right? I mean, 27 outs in a game.
Yeah.
So that's ridiculous, first of all. And also the fact that he was the one who battled in this at-bat and got on base and scored. I mean, you know, this guy did it all. It's like reminding me of Enatsu and his complete game and sayonara home run. I mean, this guy did it all.
And I think he did it against the smug one too, if I'm not mistaken. So that's all the bit, every bit much more sweet, much sweeter. Yeah. So let's move on then to the last game of this one. This is, we've got three more against the Giants at Tokyo Dome, but this one really put a smile on a lot of Tigers fans' faces as well, because we won 4-3. Gunkel was very effective. Oyama hit a big home run in the top of the third. Itoi with a 3 RBI double in the top of the fifth. And that came courtesy of 3 walks ahead of him. So thanks to their ineffective pitching, we were able to get that. They got a couple of runs off of Iwazaki in the bottom of the eighth. They had one earlier as well against Gunkel. And then Suarez, you know, for every bit as he was shaky a couple nights prior, and also against the Dragons in, you know, earlier in this recap, he was outstanding here. 9 pitches, 2 strikeouts, 3 outs. So there you have it. And then also Itoi was pretty close to hitting a home run, much like the Sato home run that we said almost happened but didn't. Actually, Sato's home run, if we go back to the Dragon series, they called it a home run and then it was requested and it was not a home run. And I think this one here with Itoi was the opposite, or it was called a foul. I think we requested it and it was in fact foul, but it was pretty much the same hit as Teru's earlier. So a couple of, you know, just missing by inches to give us some power. So man, talk about good feelings though, leaving Tokyo Dome with two wins at a tie, my friend. When's the last time that happened?
I don't know the answer, but it doesn't happen often enough and it was totally appreciated this time around.
And can we do it again later on this month? Because we got one more three game set against them. It certainly would be nice. Well, anyways, you know what they say? After we face the Giants, we are out of gas and we tend to poop it up. And that's what happened. We stank against the Carp at home, no less. We lost 2-0 on Tuesday with just two hits plus eight walks. So we did have 10 guys reach base. We had a couple of big chances, didn't get hits. Akiyama was great, but Seiya Suzuki was greater, hit a home run in the top of the fourth. And then Uemoto, the younger brother of our old guy, Hiroki, who we miss, with a sac fly in the top of the fifth. So 2-0 loss. The bad times continue the next day. Aoyagi was not sharp, gave up a couple of home runs in five innings pitched. The bats managed a couple of runs, but they also failed in bases loaded situations in the sixth and seventh. And then Iwasada and Hamachi absolutely imploded. I know Iwasada was sent down. I forget if Hamachi was, but Iwasada certainly was. So shall we complete the sweep? Unfortunately, yes, we shall. The Carp beat us 5-4 in the third game of this one to end September on a real sour note. We had a two-run lead, lost it on back-to-back Suzuki home runs. So that's three for him in this series. Those two home runs accounted for three of the Carp runs. So they're up 3-2. We tied it, though, on Dan Onodera's first career home run, which would be our 10th. Yes, our 10th home run in September. Keep in mind, Suzuki hit 13. But we lost the game in the top of the seventh on a sac fly. It's 3-3, but in the top of the seventh, they took the lead again on a sac fly. We tied it on a Marte RBI single in the bottom of the seventh, but then we lost the game on a Kozono home run in the top of the eighth. I think that was his second home run of the series as well.
Only his fourth of the year, too. Damn.
Yeah, I think they're all against us.
Ouch.
So anyways, we end the month of September with a 10-9-4 record, just one game above 500, which sounds a lot better than it felt because it didn't feel like a very productive month. The good news for you and me and the Tigers Nation is that October has been outstanding. You know, for the limited number of home runs we had in September, we have got home runs in every game so far this month. We have got wins in every game so far this month. So let's break it down. We got three against the Dragons. And of course, we have to win them because we stank it up against the Carp. We lost three. So 5-2 on Friday, two home runs. There was a Marte three-run home run and an Oyama two-run home run. And I think those were pretty close together as far as innings go. I forget exactly. But Masashi Ito was very effective in this game. The only person that could figure him out was their Fukuda, who hit two solo home runs against him. And that was all the scoring for them. We win 5-2. Good start for October. We continue on the next day, October the 2nd. And once again, Haruto Takahashi, absolutely outstanding. Man, if his outing against the Giants was a good one, what do you call this one? 97 pitch, complete game shutout. He Maddoxed them. And the only scoring in this game was Marte's top of the first three-run home run. You know, I thought this game was going to be low scoring before it started because their Rodriguez, I think last time threw a one-hitter against the Swallows, his last time out. But after that three-run home run, I was like, bring it on, blow out, here we come. No, did not happen. That was the only scoring. So, but still, 3-0, we'll take it. Great pitching from Haruto, as I said. He went the distance. He's looking ace.
You might want to explain the Maddox thing, just so everybody knows.
Okay. A Maddox basically is where you throw a complete game shutout on 100 or fewer pitches, or do you have to be under 100? I'm not sure.
I think you might have to be under 100.
That makes sense, but he did it. He got it in 97. Yeah. So, yeah, named after the great Greg Maddux of the Chicago Cubs and Atlanta Braves, because he was very good at doing that. And so it just became his metric or stat. So Haruto did it. And that was the first Maddux in Hanshin history since Takumi Akiyama back in 2010.
And you pointed out very astutely on Twitter that Takumi gave himself a backhanded compliment by saying that that was the first Maddux since, oh, me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually how I discovered it. So thanks, Akiyama, for that. All right, let's complete the sweep against the Dragon, shall we? Yes, we shall. So we got swept. Now we do the sweeping. Gunkel was very good in this one. And Marte, again, was also good in this one. So three games and three home runs for Marte. This one was a solo job in the top of the third. And that was the only run scored all game. There were other chances, but there was no other offense. And so Gunkel, I think, went six or six and a third. And I think he wanted to go longer, but Oyakawa came in. He was good. Iwasaki came in, and then Suarez. And this was particularly a fun day because Gunkel and Marte and Suarez were on the Heroes podium. So it was three of our imports. We love our imports. Stay tuned because in the post-show show, we're talking imports. All right. Well, we head out to Yokohama, our home away from home. This year, it really hasn't felt that way, but these past two games, it definitely did. So on Tuesday, we had a big four-run first inning. Thanks to no bunts, thanks to Nakano, Oyama, and Sato hitting RBIs. And of course, Chikamoto preceded that with a hit of his own. And then kind of planned double steal where Sato took off for second base. And Onodera, who was on third, dashed home. Sato didn't make it to second in time. But that wasn't the plan, I think, because he got himself caught down in a rundown. So we got that fourth run. That, by the way, I think was the slump buster for Sato, right? The RBI hit there.
That's right.
And he's back to not hitting after that, but that's another story. So Oyama hit a home run, in the top of the third. It was a solo home run. So that gave us our fifth run. And then Aoyagi was mostly good with six innings pitched, two runs against. He didn't look like his pre-Olympic self, but he definitely looked better here than he has since the Olympics, at least I felt.
Yeah, I thought he and Nishi are very similar these days in the way every pitch is either, you know, falling to the left or falling to the right, nothing fast and in the middle, and people aren't hitting it. So it works for me.
The interesting thing, too, that I've noticed in the past two games, as we get into this one here, which featured Nishi, a lot of the Bay Stars hits in this series were just like little, like just flick it over the infield type of hits. Like, you know, they weren't, like you said, Aoyagi and Nishi, they weren't putting stuff, you know, they weren't throwing stuff high in the zone. They weren't throwing it, you know, down the heart of the plate, but they were still just getting their bat on it and just flicking it over Nakano's head or Itohara's head or whatever. So I'm not too worried about that. Pretty happy with Aoyagi's performance there and pretty happy with Nishi's performance last night, also against these Bay Stars. No scoring until Rojas hit a home run in the top of the fourth, and that was all the scoring we got. It was a two-run home run. Nishi was six scoreless innings. Alcantara, Iwasaki, and Suarez cleaned it up. And the Tigers, man, they had runners in scoring position in the third, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. But
yeah, we could have scored more. But that Rojas home run, did you see it? I mean, he looked like he was lunging. He was way in front on his front foot, and he still mashed it a ton. I mean, that's
looked like a Sato out of the park. Yeah, it was pretty close. It was way deep. Yeah, nice bit of hitting there. So it's good to see Rojas doing that. So speaking of Rojas being up on the top squad, that means that our friend Jerry Sands is no longer on the top squad. Not that this is a permanent move, but let's jump right into the Yano right here and right now, because I've got something for you.
Was that on purpose? Pulled the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
Yeah, we play the theme music, but this time it's not a negative one. I actually want to give props to Akihiro Yano. And if you listen to our podcast, you know that we love him. We think he's an outstanding manager. I think probably Sanjay might even love him more than I do. And that's kind of hard to do. But when Sands got sent down to the farm, I mean, he has been on just a ridiculous cold spell for about 6 weeks now. He's got one home run, maybe like two doubles, and maybe I think like four or five RBI in the last like 6 weeks. Crazy. But when he got sent down to the farm, Yano didn't say, yeah, well, when you don't hit very well, this is what happens. He said, no, you know what? Sands carried this team on his back in the first half. We counted on him so much, and we know what kind of hitter he is. We're going to give him some time to refresh, and we're going to call him back up later on. And hopefully that's going to make a big difference for him. And so just the way he handled it and not throwing him under the bus or not saying like, yeah, our offense stinks and we need, you know, we need somebody to bring some life to it. So we're hoping Rojas will be the guy. No, he actually complimented Sands on his way down, which is really just a class move.
Class dude.
So there you have it. We love Yano and we love the Tigers. We are going to obviously keep cheering for them right through to the end. Before we get into the hot topic, man, let's talk about the hitter and the pitcher of the month for September.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the ball. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the Tiger. Your player of the month.
So it was not really a pretty month, as I said earlier. Like, we did go 10-9-4, so it doesn't sound too bad, but it actually was not too good, at least in my opinion. Let's look, though, at the pitchers, and particularly if we're looking at individual stats, yeah, it really was not much of a month. But for pitchers, have you got someone for us there, Sanjay?
Well, I mean, as you say, they kind of, everyone had sort of a bad turn, as it were, even though they were overall pretty good. I'm liking our rookie, Ito Masashi.
Yeah, so Ito had 4 starts in September. He went 7 innings, no earned runs, 1 run against, no earned runs, 5-3. So that one was his kind of stinker. That was against the Swallows. But the next week out, he went against the Swallows again, went 6 innings and 1 run against. And then he ended his September with a 7-inning, 1-run against performance. Now, his total strikeouts is not sexy by any means. I mean, just 12 in, let me do the math here, 12 in 25 innings pitched, which is quite low, but it doesn't matter. His location is ridiculous. 2 walks on the whole month. Just crazy. So, yeah, when you talk about rookies, you expect that they are going to sputter or, you know, go through a rough spell or even tire out at the end of the season. But even his 1 start so far in October was pretty good. But yeah, like a whip of 0.8 in the month of September. Pretty darn outstanding. And his ERA, by the way, 1.8. So
lights out, man.
Yeah, no complaints at all about that decision to go with Ito. And I would be inclined to do the same, but you know, what's life without a little bit of variety in it? So I'm going to go into the bullpen, dig deep, and talk about our young future ace, Southpaw Masaaki Oyokawa, who had 9 appearances in September, went 9 innings and allowed just 1 run. The other team batted to the tune of 167 against him, and he struck out 11 batters. He did walk 5, which is a little bit high, but when he's only given up 5 hits on the whole month in those 9 innings, I'm not going to complain at all. And this is a guy, let's keep in mind, like, our 7th inning has been pretty shaky. Thanks, Iwasada. But, you know, with Masaaki coming in, Oyokawa coming in, I should say, what a treat. And I love watching him pitch. He's electric, man. He's going to be a really good starter in the future.
He's outstanding. And you mentioned young. Do you want to say exactly how old he is?
20? Do you want the days too?
He's not even old enough to drink in the U.S.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. So, I mean, second year guy, we drafted him out of high school. And we drafted him in the 3rd round thinking that Junya Nishi was going to be ready before Oyokawa, because they say that lefties take a bit longer. I'm not sure why, but Oyokawa is proven the opposite to be true here. Nothing against Junya Nishi, but Oyokawa is already, you know, found his spot on the 2021 squad. And I know that he wants to be a starter in the future, and I can see it happening.
Not only that, but none other than another lefty of very high esteem, Shimoyanagi, said that Oyokawa is the key to the rest of the season.
Ooh, there you go. Well, I buy that, though, because, yeah, certainly, you know, our 7th and 8th innings have been a little bit shaky, and so it's nice to have his stability in there. And as long as Iwasaki, good Iwasaki, comes in, which happens more often than not, you know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty solid back end with those 3 guys in there. I would put them up against pretty much any set of relievers in NPB. All right, let's move to the hitting side then. Who have you got for us as your hitter of the month for September?
Well, I mean, the obvious low-hanging fruit. Chika Motor. He's motoring his way all the way around the bases, every single at-bat, it seems. We love him.
Ridiculous. He leads the league in hits. He leads the league in runs scored. He's second or maybe third in batting average. I'm not sure because it's so close. But consider this, my good friend. Okay, September was actually only his fourth best month of the season as far as batting average goes, and it was a 333.
That's wild. That's
he has nuts. Had a 403, a 368, and a 347 before this, but a 333 with no home runs, but 10 doubles. A very outstanding month for him. He scored 15 runs and he only knocked in 5, but it doesn't matter because that's not his job. He's at the top of the order doing what he does best, and that is racking up 33 hits on the month. So pretty proud of the work that he's doing. I did call at the start of the season that he would win the batting title in the CL, and it's still very much a possibility.
It's in play.
Yep. Well, I'll go elsewhere then, and simply because I knocked this guy a little bit too much, so I'm going to give it to Yusuke Oyama, because for the month of September, you know, he did definitely have some dry spells, but his August was really glaringly bad. His September was actually decent. He batted 313. He had 6 doubles and 3 home runs, good for 14 RBI, 9 runs scored, 11 walks, an OPS of 891. And his RISP, which is always terrible, was 231, which is actually better than his season average of 198. So I'll give him that as well. Kind of a backhanded compliment, but there you have it. So those are our guys. And you know what? October, as we said, we are 5-0 on the month. It's going to be fun to call the player of the month for this final, 30 days of action here that we have got. I'll tell you that.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
And at long last, if you're still with us, it is time for the hot topic. And what a hot topic it is. Of course, it can be none other than the pennant race. And as some of you may know, we are currently sitting a game behind the Yakult Swallows in the standings. They are 65, 44, and 16 on the year. So they're 21 games above 500. We are 19 games above 500 with a 70, 51, and 7 record. But here's the kicker, my man, Sanjay. We have played 3 games more than them so far, which means they have 3 games in hand, but also, because of all of their ties, essentially, this one game back that we are is more like 2. Because I did some calculating. If the season just plays out with roughly these same records going forward, even if we gain a game and a half on them and find ourselves a half game up on them, by win percentage, we find ourselves behind them. Because just to catch everybody up, in case you don't know, you probably do, ties don't factor into winning percentage when they do all the calculating here. So basically, like, you can throw out their 16 ties and just say that they end the season having played 127 games. Well, 20 games over 500 at 127 games is going to yield a better winning percentage than 20 games over 500 with 136 game schedule, which the Tigers would have, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I hate ties.
Boo ties.
Yeah. So it basically means we have to gain 2 games on them in the standings, not just the one that we are behind. Okay. This is how the schedule shakes down for us and for them. We've got 15 games left. We are on the road for the next 7, Bay Stars for 1, Swallows for 3, Giants for 3. Then we're home for 5, 2 against the Carp, 2 against the Swallows, 1 against the Dragons. Then we go to Hiroshima for 2, and we end with 1 more at home against the Dragons. So that's our 15. They have got, I'm not going to run through their schedule, but rather how many games they have against everyone. 4 more against the Giants, including tonight, 5 against the Tigers, 4 against the Dragons, 2 against the Bay Stars, and 3 against the Carp. Now, the big problem with the Swallows is that they don't lose anymore. I mean, they are 12-2-2 in their last 16 games. Okay. hard to catch up with a team that's playing that well. Their worst opponents or their toughest opponents, logically, it would make sense that it is the Giants and Tigers, and that is the case. But they've actually won their last two against the Giants, and I think even the series before, they won 2 out of 3. So they're doing quite well against the Giants lately. And the Giants, by the way, have fallen off the table. We're not talking about them today because they're 6.5 games back of us. So they're 7.5 back of the Swallows. Basically, they are done. Yay. So the Swallows, though, have 9 games left against teams that they are a combined 41, 15, and 10.
Wow.
Yeah, 26 over 500 against those three teams. And that's 9 out of their 18 games left. Okay, so we can assume, I hope they don't keep winning at that pace. But because that pace is like better than 6-3, you know, in those 9 games. You could expect that they would go 7-2. Or 6-2-1. Okay. So that, again, that's scary in and of itself that they would do that well against them, because that means that we would have to sweep them in order to have a chance against them, sweep them in our 5. There's a really good Twitter account that I kind of alerted you to, and I'd love to alert others to as well. Not followed nearly enough. Al Tora is his, I'm assuming his name. It's blue_tiger_BB. And every day he's been putting out something that he calls the Yusho line, which basically shows every scenario, well, outside of ties, because even he hates ties, presumably, every scenario and what the team's winning percentage would be if that is how the season were to play out. Okay. And that's where we get the numbers that the Tigers basically have to do like 2 games better than the Swallows the rest of the way. A game and a half up on the Swallows the rest of the way is not good enough. In other words, yeah, like in the next 15, if we and the Swallows have the same record and in their 3 games left, they lose those 3 games, we're still in second place. So we've got to really outdo them. And also we got to hope that their opponents do some damage as well. What are your thoughts though, man? We got to talk about things like who are the key players for our team. I know like this is so typical, you know, Japanese media has been doing this since I think March 26th. Kima wa dare desu ka? Who is the key man for us? But who on our team among position players are you counting on, or do you think needs to step up to make the difference here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of low hanging fruit out there for that topic as well. but personally, I would like our friend, Mr. Jerry Sands, to round back into form and come back in and provide the reliable offense that we have come to know and love for the first half of the year. That's my key man for me.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's a good call. I mean, like if he comes in and just adds that extra layer to our offense, that makes us dangerous against anybody. And pretty much any part of the lineup would then be, you know, somewhat dangerous at the very least. You know what? I had the name Sato down on my notes and I really think that he needs to step up, but I'm changing it because I've noticed something, man, lately. Ryutaro Umeno has not been hitting. His batting average is poor. His RISP is poor. Like everyone can talk, oh, he's ranked 3rd in the league, but he was ranked 1st. He was at like 390 and now he's down at like 320. So
25.
Sorry, what is it?
325.
Okay. Yeah. So if you think about that, like in the last month, then he's dropped from, I mean, it wasn't 390 a month ago, but it was maybe 370 or 365, and he's dropped significantly. That means that he's not cashing in the runners that are on base for him. Case in point, he hit into his typical double play with a soft grounder to shortstop yesterday when he had a chance to extend the lead. And I've just seen it way too much. This is a guy that I had expectations that he's going to reach double digits in home runs. And maybe it's unfair for a catcher, but that number 8 spot was a spot where people, other teams' pitchers could say like, hey, we can't take this lightly because he has, you know, he's a dangerous bat, but he just hasn't been at all. And if he steps things up, that also adds that extra beef at the bottom of our order.
I have to agree with that assessment and, you know, kind of like make life tougher for the Tigers management because he's approaching free agency. And if he has a bad year, which he's about to do, then it's not good for his bank account. And we all want him to thrive, him and his family.
Well, I would, yeah. And I would say that it's also not as likely that the Tigers will break the bank to keep him, because there are rumors floating around that our enemies, the Orange Men, might be seeking his services this offseason as well. Don't he dare. If he leaves and goes to the Giants, he will be the most hated guy in Kansai.
I agree.
But you know, if he can lead the team to a pennant, then that makes it that much harder for him to leave. Not on a personal level, but rather the team will fork out money if he is the catcher that leads us to the pennant. So he is the key position player. Key pitcher, who have you got for this?
Well, key pitcher, I'm going to go to what you mentioned earlier. I think Oyokawa is kind of a key pitcher for us. Young man, 20 years old, being thrown into the fire and coming out with flying colors. I'm mixing my metaphors. It's okay. He's awesome.
That's cool. No, he is definitely worthy of that. I've got him in my notes as one as well, that, you know, if he stabilizes that seventh inning for us, how much easier and more comfortable will it be for Yano to pull our starter after six, which gives us maybe more chances to throw in pinch hitters, or just for our starters to be comfortable with giving their all for six innings, as opposed to trying to stretch themselves out a little bit further. So he's definitely key. I've got to harken back to the column that I just released, and especially the Japanese version of it on Daily Sports, leans on Joe Gunkel. And I don't know, call me a silly romantic or just a foolish guy that's making connections where there's no business making them. But I think about our 1964 Hanshin Tigers team that won the CL pennant and pulled out some magic at the end of the year when all the odds were against them. It was actually the Bay Stars, or the Taiyo Whales, pardon me, who had a huge lead in the Central, and the Tigers looked like they were all but done. And then Gene Backe came out of nowhere and carried the team to the pennant, winning three out of four games against the Whales himself. And this is, we're talking like four games in a six game stretch, and he won three out of four of them. He also saved the other one. Of course, pitchers were used differently back then. And then he won one more of the remaining three games. And we needed to win one of those last two. If we had lost the first of those two, they're saying he would have started the third, like the final game of the year for the win, but we won that second one. So basically Backe though, carried the team. And I'm thinking, tall white guy, long arms, really hungry, no major league experience, got a young wife, really wants to make an impact, loves Japan, loves the language, seems like a pretty solid dude. It's Gunkel and Backe, you know, they're like 60 some years apart as far as the time that they were here, 57 years apart. But I think if Gunkel could do it, I don't expect him to do what Backe did. But if he can just be the solid Sunday guy, you know, we've got like three or four more Sundays in here, and they're all key matchups. And if he can do that for us, that could be the difference. I would just say this. We need a sixth solid starter. And I think that the other five, and I'm not saying, you know, that Gunkel hasn't been, but the other five are pretty solid, right? We've got Haruto, we've got Akiyama, we've got Aoyagi, we've got Ito, and we've got Nishi. So Gunkel is just that sixth guy that other teams cannot have a day off against our rotation. So we're calling on you. Okay.
I was going to say, some would argue that Gunkel is more solid than Nishi. I'm pretty happy with where Mr. Joe is. And I fully agree with you. I think that he and, you know, with the power of, you know, Mr. Gene Backe, rest in peace. I think he can deliver for us.
There you go. So one last thing I want to talk about, and that would be which team is key moving forward. In other words, which team do we need to step up for us, or to lay down flat for us when we face them, but step up when they're facing the Swallows? I'll go first on this one. I'm saying the Hiroshima Carp. And the reason is that the Swallows have three more games against them, and they're 14-5-3 against the Carp this season. Ridiculous. Like, even if the Carp sweep this, it's 14-8-3, which goes, you know, hugely in the Swallows' favor. And the Carp need to do that for us. They have not performed against the Swallows, and they have performed against us. We are 10-11 against them. They're the only team that we have a losing record against. that includes the Giants and that includes the Swallows. And so in our four games left against the Carp, two at home, two on the road, we need to take at least three of those. We can't just go 2-2 the rest of the way. The bad news, in a sense, is that two of those games are at Matsuda, where we are 4-7. And two of them are at Koshien, where we are 4-3 against the Carp. I think we play them best at Kyocera Dome. So could we move the games there? Okay. Who have you got? Who's your key team?
Well, you know, what is it about strange bedfellows? I'm thinking that we got to ask the Giants to kind of pull their weight against their Swallows.
Yes.
And lay down against us, basically.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like the last two nights, I've been cheering for the Giants. What's their problem? Like they got an extra fan where they least expected it and they couldn't parlay that into anything. They got no power out of my cheering. And tonight I've been forced to cheer for Tommy Smagano, who's starting against the Swallows. What has this world come to, my friend?
Oh, it's the apocalypse.
It is. So yeah, lay down, Giants. Okay. You got to start playing like you were earlier in the season against the Swallows. These last four games, take at least three, if not four. And then, yeah, in our last three, can we have another 2-0-1 special? We'd appreciate it. So the last question I have for you, which is the obvious question, and I know your answer, are we going to win the pennant in 2021?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes. I'll add another yes to that as well. Yes, we will. Okay, so there you have it. We've already run down what the schedule looks like the rest of the way for you, but just a reminder in case you missed it, we're not calling for, well, okay, we'll just do a quick predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
So we'll run down for you again what the schedule is, and then Sanjay and I will call what we need as far as our record the rest of the way. 15 games left. At Baystars tonight, at Swallows for three on the weekend, at Giants next week in the first half of the week for three, versus the Carp for two, versus the Swallows for two. And then depending on when we record next, we might save the last four games for later, but it's versus Giants at home, at Carp for two, and then versus Dragons again at home to round things out. But what do you think in the last 15, what do we need to do? How many wins?
I'm not sure what we need to do. I'm going to say that this is what we should do. Mm. And may I preface that by saying that let's just acknowledge that we actually are in the A class and are in the climax series, first to 70 wins. So we it's not like, you know, we're chopped liver or anything right now. No. I think we need to go, and we will go 10-5.
I think 10-5 would be nice. I'm going to go with that as well. Actually, no, I'm going to say 10-4-1. We'll get one tie in there, but we will get to 80 wins this season. And that will get us the U show. That one extra tie is going to make the difference in our win percentage to give us the U show. So you heard it here first. Listen to this again after the season's done and say, T-Ray, how do you do it? You're so amazing at predictions. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning into H10. Sanjay and I have not gotten our fill of Tigers talk, so we're going to the YouTubes for the post-show show. But you can check us out there. You can check us out on Patreon for exciting benefits. We got the website, thehanshintigers.com, Twitter at thehanshintiger, Instagram at Hanshin Tigers English News, Facebook, Hanshin Tigers English News, and all those details are in the show notes. Special thanks, as always, to Anwar Ammer for the theme music and show, the show mixer. Thanks again, Sanjay, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
All right. We'll catch you all next time. Go Tigers, you show!